In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
A few months ago, there were some concerns about the IRS's review of 501c4 organizations of applications from Tea Party organizations. I was just wondering if you could provide an update. It has been just over 2 years, May 10th, 2013 to be exact, since Lois Lerner arranged to have someone in the audience ask her that question at the American Bar Association annual tax meeting. That was the question that sparked the firestorm of the IRS scandal. In response to that question, Lois Lerner admitted that conservative organizations were singled out and targeted for extra scrutiny. What is not up for debate is the fact that this targeting did happen. Conservative groups were targeted by the IRS, facing unfair questions, audits, delays, harassment, including being asked what they prayed about, and one group's board of directors even had to swear under oath that they would not protest Planned Parenthood. Why this happened is still a matter of debate. On one end of the spectrum, it happened because rogue operatives in some hinterlands unit, better known as Cincinnati, decided on their own to do this. On the other end of the speculation spectrum, the Obama administration decided to use the IRS as a weapon to target his political opponents. But consider this. When she planted that question, Lois Lerner and the IRS knew that a Treasury Department Inspector General report was about to come out that would condemn the IRS's practice of targeting conservative groups applying for 501c4 status. And consider this. In an unusual and rather suspicious move, to my mind anyway, the Inspector General of the Treasury notified Lois Lerner that an audit about this targeting was coming. Not, "We have opened an audit on you," but in his own words, "We plan to conduct an audit." As part of that IG investigation, Holly Paz, Lois Lerner's right-hand woman, participated in virtually every one of the interrogations or interviews with her own subordinates. Not only did the IG allow it, but her sitting in is highly unusual, especially since a routine question by the Inspector General would have been, "Did anyone order you to do this?" Consider that the Cincinnati office where all this began is not some local office with low-level rogue IRS agents. Cincinnati is the headquarters of the IRS Tax-Exempt Organizations Division. Consider that just 2 days prior to that planted question, Lerner was given an opportunity to address the situation at a House subcommittee hearing, but said nothing to Congress at all about any wrongdoing. Despite Obama's claim in February 2014 that there wasn't a smidgen of corruption, by that point, five top managers in the IRS, including Holly Paz, Lois Lerner, and the acting director of the IRS, had all been forced out of their jobs. Usually, people don't lose their jobs if there isn't a smidgen of corruption. It's been 2 years. And while the wheels of justice turn slowly, they do in fact turn. And now new evidence has emerged in Wayne Allen Root's case against the IRS that, he says, proves this was a Democrat-led conspiracy. But first up, I'd like to welcome former Oregon State Representative Jeff Kropp and current fifth-generation Oregon farmer. He is now the executive director of Oregon Capital Watch Foundation, which was one of the organizations facing the added scrutiny and discrimination by the IRS. Jeff, it's great to talk to you.
Good to be with you, Mark. Thanks.
So talk to our audience a little bit about your organization. What type of nonprofit is it, and what's its mission?
Oregon Capital Watch Foundation is a 501c3 charitable public organization where people can give us tax-deductible donations for the purpose, and which is our mission, of two things. First of all, educating Oregon citizens to how government, state and local, spend their tax dollars, number one. And number two is then to suggest policy changes to give the taxpayer the bigger bang for the buck. So that's what we do. And we accomplished the first goal of educating them how government spends their money by issuing reports, doing a lot of research. We also give away what we call Petunia's Porker Award. And Petunia is on our website at ocwf.org. She is a 9-foot-tall, 12-foot-long pig on a trailer that I tow around the state. She's quite popular, and in fact, she was recently, last week, down in Josephine County helping to raise awareness how the Josephine County commissioners have been wasting tax dollars down there, while at the same time they're still advocating for another property tax increase. And now she's out in Pendleton with some Tea Party folks out there, friends of ours, that are fighting the Blue Mountain Community College bond issue, which was just defeated back in November. So Petunia gets really busy driving around the state. She's very popular. It's a lot of fun to drive her around, especially on the interstates, because the people that drive up next to you and they stop and they're taking pictures with their smartphones. It's really a lot of fun. But she is an effective tool for us at the Oregon Capital Watch Foundation in helping people become aware that government is wasting their dollars and they need to stand up and do something about it.
Yeah, and how do you not love a big giant pink pig? So, and in terms of the conservative organizations that have been targeted, according to the testimony that Lois Lerner had provided, it was items in their name like Patriot or 912 or Tea Party. Obviously, Oregon Capital Watch doesn't have any of that. So why did they flag yours? And then also, you mentioned that your organization's C3, and supposedly just conservative organizations that were C4s, which would have more of a political activity. Why was yours pointed out for more scrutiny?
Well, good question. And we really don't know the answer to that, because the IRS is not revealing that at this point. Although there are some developments we'll talk about here after a bit. In our lawsuit, along with several other organizations, we're both 501c3 applicants and 501c4 applicants. There were hundreds and hundreds, if you remember, Mark, of organizations that were slowed down. And in our case, we made application in May of 2011, and were not granted our C3 status, tax-exempt charitable foundation status, until 27 months later. And that was several months after we joined the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ's lawsuit, along with 41 other organizations in 22 states. And so finally, it was very interesting, because instead of the IRS sending us a letter saying, yes, your application is approved, they sent it to the ACLJ's lawyers to send to us, which I found very interesting. But so there were many, many organizations that were part of this lawsuit originally. We were denied under some unbelievably convoluted reasoning on the part of a federal judge, one of them being that, well, most, basically no blood, no foul, Mark, because most of the organizations, when our lawsuit was finally heard in front of the court, most of the organizations had been granted their C3 or C4 status, with the exception of a couple, and several had dropped out. And so the judge said, hey, since everybody's been granted their applications, there's no need for your lawsuit really has no basis, and we're not going to continue. We appealed that to the Washington, D.C. Court of Appeals, and it is pending, and we'll talk a little bit later about some very recent developments just 2 days ago about that issue.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds good. And let's go ahead and actually do that right after this break. Coming up, the investigation begins. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Oregon State, I should say former Oregon State Representative Jeff Crump, but current fifth-generation Oregon farmer. He's also the executive director of Oregon Capital Watch Foundation. Talking to him today about the extra scrutiny that was given to him by the IRS, and not just his group, but a whole bunch of conservative organizations. And Jeff, what's interesting to me is that they had targeted you guys for this extra scrutiny, despite the fact that you're a C3, not a C4, which means that as a C3, you're focused on education, not necessarily about politics or getting involved in politics. That would be a C4 designation. And also, there's nothing in your name that I can see that would have triggered that. It was names that had Patriot or Tea Party or 912 in their name. That those were the ones that were flagged for extra scrutiny. So, and I think there was another one later on that was added, Restoring America or Saving America, something like that. Your organization has none of that. And so it seems to me that they would have had to have done a little digging to find out that you're a conservative. What are your thoughts?
Likely so. Obviously we have Facebook page, Twitter account, and a website, which is www.ocwf.org. And so I'm sure they looked at what we were doing with Petunia, going around giving the Porker Award and our mission statements, and which, you know, our mission statement is in our application of the IRS.
Sure.
So if you're talking about exposing wasteful government spending, I don't think under the Obama administration, or frankly at that time the Democrat-controlled Congress, I can't imagine that they would have viewed us favorably. So I think clearly the IRS did some investigation and decided that we merited special attention, which we did. We received, when they finally worked our application, which took a year before I could even really, well, not quite a year, before I could even get a hold of someone to tell me what was going on, then they wanted to ask us additional questions. And some of those questions are part of the lawsuit that we brought. Some of our questions were not as nearly as invasive as others, like what is the content of your prayers, as yeah. the IRS asked yeah. one organization. So, but they still were part of this extra scrutiny. And so we sent them all of our training materials and copies of our videos and television ads and the things that we do. And I received a voicemail message from the agent assigned to my case. And he said he reviewed all of our files and had, quote, sent it on to Washington, D.C. for further evaluation. And, of course, we know that that was Lois Lerner and her entire group, a special group, which is part of the lawsuit that we're engaged in, but also another lawsuit that Monday the D.C. Court of Appeals heard oral arguments on. It's called the Z Street, as Z as in Zebra Street, versus Koskinen, with Koskinen being the head guy at the IRS.
Right.
This is a Jewish organization. And they were targeted unconstitutionally, and the Obama administration, the IRS lawyers, admitted that it is okay for them to unconstitutionally, this is their argument yesterday in front of the D.C. Court of Appeals, their argument is it's okay to unconstitutionally engage in discrimination based on your viewpoint until the 270-day period in the law says it's okay for a group like mine to sue. They actually made that argument in front of the D.C. Court of Appeals, and the Obama court, Obama-appointed judge, blew a gasket.
Hmm.
And it was an ugly hearing, and it's just reading through the actual language of this hearing, it is astonishing to see the arrogance of the IRS lawyers in front of this D.C. Court of Appeals, and how every one of these three judges were used some very telling language. And what that means for our case, because our case was denied, as I said previously, and we've appealed it. Well, the court said to us that they are putting our appeal on hold, which is good news for us, because the court is recognizing that we have a valid appeal. We're putting it on hold until the Z Street case is, in fact, settled. And here's the interesting thing about the Z Street case. It's not about their application so much as it is the fact that the IRS told them that they were going to discriminate against them based on the fact that they had taken positions counter to the administration.
Oh, man.
Which is
wow.
stunning.
Yeah,
and so the Z Street case, when it is decided, will have enormous impact, and certainly for our cases under appeal also. But this is the arrogance of both the Obama administration and the IRS, and it's why we must continue to fight in court to get this issue resolved. And if the oral arguments in front of the D.C. Court of Appeals on Z Street is any indication, we are clearly going to win this thing.
What's really shocking about that is that this, as you say, it just happened this week. This is after they've already gone through all of the scrutiny at the congressional level and at the Senate level, and they still have this arrogance. That's shocking.
You wouldn't think it would be, right? I mean, you would think that after the many times Koskinen has been raked over the controls, or the coals, rather, and Lois Lerner's testimony and all of this, you would think that the IRS would take a different position. But for some reason, I just have to go back to the Obama administration incredible hubris of the president and his entire administration with so many of their unconstitutional actions, which so far every one of them have been, with the exception of John Roberts' Obamacare ruling, every one of his actions have been ruled unconstitutional. You would think that the IRS and would just want to cut their losses, at least the professionals who represent the IRS, but apparently not.
No, apparently not. Okay, let's take our break there. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more with Jeff Crump, Executive Director of Oregon Capital Watch. And then coming up later, Wayne Allen Root, who says he has proof of a Democrat-led conspiracy. And thanks for staying with us. This is the iSpy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, talking today to Jeff Crump. He's the Executive Director of Oregon Capital Watch Foundation, which was one of the organizations that got some of that added scrutiny and discrimination by the IRS. And we just passed the two-year anniversary of Lois Lerner confessing that this was going on. And so, Jeff, let's talk about the impact of all of this, because I think that's where it really matters. We certainly saw this impact on a national basis, the 2012 elections when this was going on. But within your own organization, what did you personally experience? Did this really hamper your ability to go out there and raise funds?
It did. And because, frankly, many of the donors that we were, potential donors we were chatting with, were wanting to know if we were, in fact, going to be able to achieve our tax-exempt status. You know, once the story broke, it became actually even a little bit more difficult to do that.
Mm.
I do know that there were other organizations, in fact, another one here in Oregon, that had applied roughly about 3 or 4 months after we did for also 501c3 status. And it had a fairly dramatic impact on their ability to raise funds. It also had the chilling effect of many groups who were thinking of making application for C3s and C4s simply pulled back and didn't do it. And in fact, several of the groups who joined our lawsuit originally, of the 41 groups in 22 states, several of them, I think 7 or 8 of them, just dropped out entirely just because they didn't want the hassle of dealing with it anymore. So it clearly had the impact that they intended it to. Frankly, I believe this came clearly right out of the White House. If you looked at all the IRS commissioner visits, something like 138 within a very, you know, year and a half or 2 year period of the White House. But clearly that there was some direction there, in my opinion. I don't know if they'll ever find that smoking gun, but part of the D.C. Court of Appeals lawsuit in D Street, if the three-judge panel rules against the arguments of the IRS is going to have to turn over an enormous amount of evidence, and in that may be the smoking gun tying IRS activities directly to the Obama White House.
Mm.
So it had the intended effect, the chilling effect, but, you know, we're going to fight on no matter what.
Yeah. And we talked to you during the break, too, about making the transcript of that most recent court case available, and we'll put that up on iSpyRadio.com. Because you bring up an important point, too, about it having a chilling effect on a lot of the donors that were considering donating to you, because that's the other side of this, too, is that they were developing a secret list of donors that were funding some of these conservative organizations.
Well, indeed. And in fact, a C3 and a C4 under the law, we have to tell the IRS who those donors are. So the IRS knows. However, that is not public knowledge.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So what did happen in at least one case, and maybe two, is that someone in the IRS leaked the donors' names of one or two of these organizations, and they became targeted by opposing organizations. I think one was a pro-life organization that was targeted by pro-choice people. So it clearly, the IRS just does not have a track record in the last few years of being trustworthy when it comes to these issues. And with the oral arguments they made Monday in front of the D.C. Court of Appeals, they did not help their case in any way. And I just think they're going to be careful.
Yeah, I can't imagine that helped their case. So let's talk a little bit about some of your activities right now. One of the big things that you guys were out there trying to get awareness about was some of the Oregon gun right laws. Give us some developments on that, and I also understand that some of the representatives and senators are facing recall efforts.
Yeah, there are two House members Val Hoyle out of Junction City, who happens to be the House Majority Leader, number two under the Speaker, and Susan McClain out in the Forest Grove area, then State Senator Chuck Riley up in the Hillsborough area, who barely beat Senator Bruce Starr, longtime incumbent. He only beat him by 230 votes or so. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. There was a Libertarian candidate in that race that took 9% of the vote. So it was a very close race. He's being targeted. And I hear that potentially in fact, there's a story up on Blue Oregon right now that there is a group that is intending to file a recall motion against Senate Bill 941, which is this gun bill. The sponsor is State Senator Floyd Prezansky out of the South Eugene Cottage Grove area, that he may be recalled also. I think there is also a possibility of a lawsuit based on the fact that part of Senate Bill 941, it has an emergency clause that says we can't put it to a vote of the people, right? It takes away our vote.
Yep.
Except it says, except for Section 2, and Section 2 is the section that prescribes that any private gun sales have to have a background check. That section says it only goes into effect 90 days after the passage of the bill. That may, in fact, give us an opportunity to go out and get the signatures and put this to a vote of the people. It'd be very interesting to see that happen. I'd love to be a part of that.
That would be awesome. So, Jeff, we're coming up on the end of our time here with you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Rally Around the Flag event. Are you going to be bringing the pig?
I will. Petunia will be there, and I'll be there, and we'll be talking about all the examples of wasteful government spending and how our rights are being constantly challenged by well-meaning legislators who are not aware of really what the Constitution provides in terms of its protections for us against the government, and a lot of other things, including the wastefulness of trying to send the state police after people who are selling guns to their neighbors. It's just astounding, which is part of 941.
Yeah, just another astounding waste of government funding. Unfortunately, there just never seems to be an end to those stories of government waste. Jeff Krupp, thank you again.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure being with you. Look forward to doing it again.
And coming up next, Wayne Allen Root, new evidence of IRS conspiracy in his case. Welcome back. Glad you're joining us on the iSpy Radio Show. Today it's all about the IRS targeting of conservatives, which has still not been resolved. We just passed the two-year anniversary of Lois Lerner planting a question at an American Bar Association conference and admitting the IRS's extra scrutiny for conservative organizations, only to promptly plead the fifth in front of Congress. Be sure to check iSpyRadio.com for links to that recent court hearing he mentioned. You can read for yourself the arrogance of the IRS attorneys. Look for today's show, which is 520. I'd like to welcome now Wayne Allen Root, who has been at the forefront of this issue for some time now. Wayne is a CEO, best-selling author and speaker, small business defender, and crusader for small government. He is a nationally known TV and radio commentator on the topics of business, economics, entrepreneurship, and politics. His latest book is The Murder of the Middle Class. Wayne, it's good to talk to you again.
Hey, Mark. Great to be on with you. And I want to make sure everybody knows they can reach me, by the way, at my website, rootforamerica.com. All my commentaries and all my late-breaking news, it's all there at Root, R-O-O-T, for America.com.
Yeah, absolutely great site. And, of course, we'll always make sure we link that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. And so we want to talk to you about your audits, and you just recently penned an article there on Fox News, and it's made it onto the Blaze and a number of other areas, talking about some of the latest evidence now that you have that you think really points to the fact that this was, in fact, a Democrat-led conspiracy. But let's start with some background. You were first audited in 2011. Why was that? And was this for an organization, or was it a company that was being audited?
No, it was me personally, and it was January of 2011, which is very interesting because I always thought this had to do with the gigantic Tea Party victories in November of 2010. That was when Obama had been destroyed by the Tea Parties in the most over-the-top, you know, overwhelming historic landslide at that point in modern political history, and Obama's presidency was already over before it had even begun. And they knew, they got together at the White House, as sure as I'm sitting here, and Obama and his socialist cabal knew they had to destroy the Tea Party, slander the Tea Party, distract the Tea Party, break up the Tea Party, and bankrupt the Tea Party by going after not only Tea Party groups, but the board members, the heads of each group, the speakers at Tea Party events, of which I was, and anybody associated with major conservative fundraising organizations. That was their plan, as sure as I'm sitting here. And of course, in retrospect, not only is my case dovetailed with all that and prove it's all true, but on top of that, I've done extensive research and written articles on this for Fox News on multiple occasions. Obama met with the head of the IRS from that point on until the day that the Lois Lerner scandal broke more times than all the other members of the cabinet almost combined. It's insane to think that the President of the United States meets with the head of the IRS more than, you know, the people in charge of Secretary of State, more than the people in charge of the Commerce while the country's in, you know, major economic malaise. He's not meeting with the head of the Commerce Department to talk about how to get the economy going. He's not meeting with the head of the Treasury Department. He's meeting with the head of the IRS dozens and dozens of times, and all the other cabinet officers once, twice, three times. It's amazing. And he also met with the head of the IRS Employees Union the night before the targeting began. All of this, you know, in retrospect, involves my case.
Yeah. As you mentioned, he had just lost that the 2010 landslide, and right in the middle of all of that, because that, of course, happened in November, in January of that year, you had Citizens United, which allowed corporations to suddenly start donating to political causes. And I'm sure that the Obama administration saw the handwriting on the wall and, of course, wanted they had to step in somehow and put a stop to this.
Well, things were looking bad for him. I mean, let's face it, he'd only been in office 2 years. And everything was going against them, and the people were against them, and he was out to destroy them because he couldn't let that happen, because how would he institute his socialist agenda for this country, you know, if he was no longer in a position of power? So he had to make sure he stopped them in advance of the 2012 election, and that's exactly what he did. And so mine began, you know, to personalize this. My assault by the IRS began in January of 2011. It began with something the IRS's top spokesman says can never happen. It began with a phone call. As recently as a month ago, the IRS spokesman and several other top IRS officials were quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying, if you ever get a phone call that you're being audited by the IRS, hang up the phone. It's a scam. Don't even talk to them. Keep hanging up the phone, because the IRS doesn't call anyone to begin an audit. And yet, they called me. So maybe they ought to change that response to the Wall Street Journal and say, unless you're a critic of the president, the IRS doesn't call you. Because they certainly call when you're a big critic of the president.
That had to have been a little intimidating to get a call out of the blue. And what was your first thoughts on that? Did you think it was a scam?
Well, I'll tell you what made it intimidating. He called me, and then he left a message, and then he called me again and left a message. I was away on a trip, so I wasn't even home. I was checking in on my messages at home, and he called my home office twice. And then, when he couldn't get me, he called my accountant. My accountant said, Wayne, my accountant said what the head of the IRS just said to the Wall Street Journal. When I called him and said that the IRS called me, he said, Wayne, the IRS doesn't call anyone. It's a scam. It's a joke. It's some liberal playing a joke on you, trying to make you upset. Don't even worry about it. Then the accountant called me back a half hour later and said, it's real. He just called me. And I've never been called in 30 years as an accountant. They can't even wait. They're jumping through the phone to go after you, Wayne. They couldn't wait to get you. And he said, the good news is, I told the IRS agent, this is my accountant talking, he can never speak to you again. I have the power of attorney, so you'll never speak to my client again. Only deal with me. So he said, at least you'll never deal with him again. I'll take care of it. And he hung up the phone, and a minute later the phone rang. It was the IRS agent calling me again.
Yeah.
And this time I picked up the phone, and this time is when the intimidation began. He started telling me and quoting me chapter and verse about my politics, Mark. He was telling me what I believe in, telling me how he watched all my Fox News appearances, listened to me on the radio, my national radio interviews, read all my commentaries, went to my website. He knew everything about me, and he fought to get my audit. Everyone in the office, IRS office in Vegas, wanted my audit. He was the big winner who got it.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
So I knew this wasn't normal, and then I hung up and told my accountant, and my accountant said, how weird. I mean, you must have been sweating. I mean, that's like talking to a stalker. There's something wrong there. He's not supposed to know your politics. He's not supposed to quote your politics to you. This would be an intimidation factor. This would be out of the norm. This is very strange, Wayne. And he said, I got to tell you, I got the same weird feeling when I spoke to him, because he sounded like a stalker when he was on the phone with me. He sounded like a guy whose agenda was going after Wayne Root and destroying him. And I've never had an IRS agent ever sound like that before in all my years as an accountant.
Wow.
So we knew something funny was going on, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only should he have not known your politics, it really shouldn't have mattered because they're supposed to be impartial. All right, everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Wayne Allen Root coming up. We'll be talking about some more of the intimidation that he went through. Stay with us. And thanks for staying with us on the iSpy Radio Show, talking about the IRS intimidation of conservatives and conservative organizations. Talking now to Wayne Allen Root. I'm sure that you've heard him on Fox News Channel, as well as hundreds of national and local radio shows all across the United States. And so, Wayne, we were talking about the intimidation that was happening. And so let's talk now a little bit about the current case that is going on. You've got a lawsuit that you're doing with Judicial Watch. So talk to us about some of the recent developments on that.
Sure. I mean, lawsuit's not the right word. We almost went to a lawsuit. What happened was that after first of all, I have to go back a little bit. It took 2 years. And finally, at the end of 2 years, we took them to tax court because there's no way to win. They were so vicious and so prejudiced and so biased. My lawyer said, we'll take it to tax court. Let's not even deal with any employees of the IRS anymore. Let a judge decide. And the judge threw the case out immediately and said, Wayne Root doesn't owe a dime. 5 days later, my lawyer called me and said, Wayne, are you sitting down? You've just been audited again.
Mm.
And I said, what? He said, Wayne, I swear, I made phone calls. You were not my first call. When I heard that you were audited again, when they served that paper with me, he said, I called all my friends in the tax legal business, biggest law firms in the country, and every one of them said, to their knowledge, in the history of tax law, no one's ever been audited 5 days after winning a case against the IRS in tax court. He said, you just won the reverse lottery, and my guess is you really are on Obama's enemies list. That's what my lawyer said to me the moment this came down.
Wow.
So anyway, now fast forward again. We win that one again. And after that's over, Judicial Watch agrees to take my case. They believe this looks like a case of government involvement, of targeting, of intimidation, and of crimes committed. And so they demand my IRS files under the Freedom of Information Act from the IRS. Well, marked by law, the IRS has 30 days to hand them over. It took us 14 months.
Yeah.
To get them, 14 months of fighting, and they were just about to file a lawsuit against the IRS when at the last minute, when I guess they told them, we're going to file a lawsuit against you and you're going to have to hand them over, they finally handed them over. And now we've got them in our hands, and that's what all these articles were about for the last 2 weeks in the media. We've been all over the media, as you said, from Fox News to Blaze to, interestingly enough, even a vitamin health food site called Natural News that's one of the busiest health advocate sites in the country, and they did a big story on the IRS going after Wayne Root and what a scandal it was, its targeting, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I'm very proud of the fact that people are talking about it, people are noticing, and people who aren't even in politics, who are in, the vitamin business and the natural health food business, understand that if government doesn't like you and Big Pharma is tied in very closely with the Obama administration, they give big donations, vitamin companies can't give that kind of donation, then vitamin companies understand they could also be subject to intimidation by the FDA or by the FTC or by the IRS. Everybody's scared. It's a real intimidation factor out there, Mark. It's very scary. So we got the files, and here's what we found. First of all, it's political targeting. They all need to go to prison. My file was marked sensitive. And I spoke to my lawyer. He said, there isn't one justification on earth. They can make all the excuses they want. You cannot justify marking Wayne Root's file sensitive. If this was a random audit, then why was his file sensitive? What was sensitive about Wayne Root's file? And it wasn't a random audit. It obviously means political sensitive. Why did they even know your politics? That's the key to that. That one word or two words, sensitive case, marked on my file, tells you you're dealing with a modern-day Gestapo.
And that's exactly right. I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking, well, okay, so you're pretty well off, and you've got an attorney, and you've got a tax accountant, and you've got all of these people that are there that can go to bat for you. And now I'm thinking of these people that are out there trying to form these 501c4s or these C3s. They're just in kind of startup mode, and they don't have a lot of resources. And now along comes the power of the IRS. That's got to keep them up at night. I'm just shaking in their boots.
Yeah, trust me. I'm not nearly as rich as you think I am.
You're as rich as the IRS probably thinks you are.
Yeah, they probably think I am, but I like to call myself, if I'm rich, then I'm working rich, meaning as long as checks keep coming in, I guess I live a rich lifestyle. Tomorrow, I'm broke, bankrupt, and homeless on the street if the checks stop coming. And the IRS is a threat to destroy your life, and the checks could stop coming. They can ruin your entire business. They can ruin your credibility. I mean, if they throw you in jail, your career's over, and there's no more checks. So, I mean, I'm not a guy who's got $10 million in the bank. I have no trust fund. I live each month to month on what I make, and I make a good income as a businessman and an entrepreneur. But these guys, if they distract you and if they drain you of your money by legal fees and accounting fees, if they find something wrong, or what about, you know, we all know that all over this country there are police that plant drugs. I happen to be pro-police, but I know there are police in some cases that have been proven to literally plant guns or drugs if they don't like somebody and they want to get them. How do you know the IRS doesn't find something you did wrong even though you did nothing wrong? So don't tell me it doesn't ruin your life. It doesn't take days off the end of your life. Maybe my life will be 5 years shorter, Mark. Or maybe, you know, I thought I was going to get a divorce. My wife and I had real problems while this was going on because the pressure of it all really caused a problem in our marriage. How do you know someone doesn't commit suicide while this is happening? You know, liberals, you know what the favorite thing of liberals is? They're always talking about bullying. And I laugh about that because, you know, I went to a very rough high school and I got bullied all the time. And I think it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It made me a better person. It made me a tougher person who eventually wound up standing up to the IRS. Nobody can intimidate or bully me because I was bullied and I learned a lesson. So bullying is not that bad when you're 5 years old and 10 years old. You know where bullying's bad? If they're so concerned about bullying, then the government has no right to bully a citizen for his political views. That could drive him to suicide. That could drive him to divorce. That could drive him to bankruptcy. That's a lot worse than calling a little girl fat or ugly. So, you know, your feelings get hurt. I really don't care about that. I care about trying to drive someone into bankruptcy and ruin their life. That's the definition of bullying. And guess who does it? Barack Obama and his socialist cabal.
Yeah, and you're right, is that, you know, the politics should not have mattered. I mean, the IRS should be like justice. It's blind. And your politics shouldn't matter at all. And I think that's why so many people can relate to your case, is because this should not have happened no matter what side of the aisle you're on. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right there. We'll have a little more time in our last segment with Wayne Allen Roots. Stay with us. And thanks for staying with us. We're into our final segment now with Wayne Allen Root. Wayne is a former presidential candidate, the 2008 Libertarian vice presidential nominee, a political commentator, and has been called an evangelist for capitalism, which makes him a star in my book. If you haven't heard him on Fox News, you've probably heard him somewhere else. And so, Wayne, we've been talking about the IRS intimidation and all of this. And you say here that you're prepared to testify before Congress. Is that being set up at all now for your testimony? And if so, when will that take place?
I don't know yet when it'll take place, but I know that I'm speaking on a regular basis with the IRS investigators, the committee investigating for the U.S. Mm-hmm. Senate, the IRS scandal. Let me tell you the final upshoot of looking at my IRS files. Number one, it was listed as a sensitive case, so right off the bat, that's a problem, a red flag. Of course, the phone call was a red flag. The fact that the IRS officer was talking to me on the phone about my political beliefs, a massive red flag.
Yeah.
Notes in the margin from the IRS auditor all over my files talking about my political views and that I'm a Fox News guy. I mean, it's not even a red flag. It's now a fact. It was criminal political targeting. How about the fact there was a United States senator involved?
Yeah.
It mentions it multiple times in my IRS files, United States senator from Oregon, your way, from your state. And I don't know who it was. It just says a U.S. senator from Oregon, but I know they were both Democrats, and I know one of them, Ron Wyden, was the chairman of the Finance Committee of the U.S. Senate, which has oversight over the IRS. So if you ask me to guess, I would say that Barack Obama saw his Columbia College classmate, Wayne Root, ripping him to shreds in the media again and again and again on national TV and decided to go after me and made a phone call because the White House didn't want to put their fingerprints on it. And they called the guy in the Senate who's their friend, who's in charge of the U.S. Senate Finance Committee, Ron Wyden. If I had to guess, that's what I would guess. I don't know that to be a fact. But the fact is, I asked my personal lawyer, and he said, it was a Democrat. And he said to me, if that's the case, it's criminal. A U.S. senator cannot be involved in a private IRS audit. There's no possible way. I mean, it's criminal. But Richard Nixon was forced to resign because he did the same thing. He tried to get the IRS to hound his political opposition and silence free speech. And the last smoking gun or red flag in my IRS file is the date this whole thing was closed was May 23rd, 2013, the very day Lois Lerner was suspended from the IRS and the day after she testified and took the fifth. And they were in such a rush to close it on that day that a top official of the IRS called my auditor and said, close Wayne Root's case today. And we find out after the fact it's the day that Lois Lerner was suspended. Hey, folks, you know, I may be you know, I may have been born yesterday, but I wasn't born in the last 5 minutes. And I got to think that this means Lois Lerner was in charge of targeting Wayne Root along with the Tea Parties, and that they went into her office and cleaned her office out and said, let's close every case involving this woman. She is a danger. She could put us all in prison. She could, you know, cause the major cut in funding for the IRS. She could cause us to be publicly castigated. Cut every case involving Lois, and Wainwright's case was right on her desk. That would be my guess. I mean, it sure seems obvious to me that there's a reason why they were in such a rush to close my second case on that exact day, May 23rd, 2013.
Well, you know, you live in Las Vegas, and so maybe it's just a remarkable roll of the dice.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned Ron Wyden there. The other person it might obviously be is Jeff Merkley. And I'm pretty sure he was the one. There was like a group of six senators that had all sent a letter to the IRS basically calling for greater scrutiny on
well,
conservative
groups.
Well,
so it very well could have been him then. That may very be what they're referring to. And it may have been that letter. It may have been him. It sounded like whoever the senator was, the wording sounded like he personally, you know, requested the Wayne Root audit. So it very well could have been him in a separate letter. Who knows? But it was a Democratic senator from Oregon, both of which were Democrats, which I think instantly makes this a sizzling hot case because it involves people at the highest levels of the Democratic Party political targeting.
Yeah. And, you know, we're always looking for that smoking gun. And I don't know if it's out there or not. But yeah, and it bothers me that Obama is having so many meetings with the IRS head, because that's how you avoid those smoking guns is you have the meeting in person and you make sure no one's taping it. And so there's a lot of ways that you can get around those smoking guns that they can be hidden. I guess if I was there in your situation, I'd want some answers. So is there any, you know, I know that you guys have this ongoing FOIA request and whatnot, but I mean, are you getting any kind of answers, any kind of insights from the IRS in terms of why this happened to you, or in terms of, you know, basically any answers other than the fact that it did happen to you?
The IRS doesn't answer to anybody who could get them in trouble and could start a criminal case against them. You know, it took us 14 months just to pry loose the files. No one's given us any answers about the files until someone forces the issue. So don't worry, I'm planning to testify in front of the U.S. Senate. And by the way, the U.S. Senate investigators are so interested and so hot in this case. They had a long interview with Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, and they asked for my entire tax file, and it's all been handed over to them. So I'm pretty confident we're going to get some action here.
Well, but I mean, in terms of answers, what I mean by that is, have you actually asked anybody, or have your attorneys actually asked anybody, why this was labeled as a sensitive case? Is that unusual? I mean, did you get any answers along those lines?
Yeah, never had answers about anything. Believe me, Judicial Watch has done the yeoman's job, and the best they could do is spend 14 months fighting to get this released when the law says they have the IRS had 30 days to automatically hand it over. There isn't any debate. There isn't any issue. They have to hand it over by law in 30 days, and it took us 14 months to get a hold of the files themselves. And then we find all this bad stuff written in the files. So I think we've got a great smoking gun here that proves this was a criminal case of targeting, just like Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon was forced to resign. And the only difference between Obama and Nixon, you know, Nixon was a Boy Scout compared to Obama. But Obama has the media on his side, and Richard Nixon had the media that hated him. And so if you had a media that hated Obama, I believe he'd be on the way to impeachment as we speak right now.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree with that. Yeah. So I know that this at this point, we've only got about 30 seconds here with you. I know that this is just a FOIA request at this point. Is there any thoughts to moving that into an actual lawsuit?
You know, I've spoken with a couple lawyers on a very quick basis, and everybody said, and this is the problem with America, Mark. They all said if you get beaten, you got cheated, you lose money to a private company in America, there's 100 lawyers lined up to take your case and even to take it for free on consignment. But if it's the government, they've got some sort of immunity, and you cannot find lawyers willing to take a case because it's almost impossible to ever win a lawsuit against the government. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It's remarkably sad, too. Yeah.
Sums up the whole problem with American capitalism right there.
It sure does. And unfortunately, we have ceded all of that power to the government. Wayne, I want to thank you so much for your time today, and best of luck as this moves forward.
Thank you, Mark. The website's rootforamerica.com, R-O-O-T, foramerica.com, and the book is The Murder of the Middle Class.
All right. Well, thank you again, Wayne.
Thanks, Mark.
It's time to get going, but I hope that you'll plan to join Jeff Kropp and me at the Rally Around the Flag event. We're about a month away from that at the fairgrounds in Cottage Grove on June 20th. Head to iSpyRadio.com. There's a new menu link at the top for events. All the details right there. It's not just about the event. It's about building relationships with other grassroots people and organizations around issues that matter to you. Does it matter to you that people in Washington, D.C. control more than half our land in Oregon? People who will never ever visit Oregon but think they're more capable of deciding how to manage it. What about gun rights or health care? This is a chance to meet others who are on the right side of the aisle and on the right side of these issues. The more you connect, the bigger your voice becomes. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.